Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Emma.
And I'm Gabby, and we're two card-carrying members of the Infertility Club.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hello, hello, hello. How are
hey.
You?
How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good.
Yeah, has it been a nice bank holiday for you?
Do you know what? It has been really lovely.
Has it?
Yeah, man. We had to cancel one of our plans because we had basically planned too much.
You overplanned. Oh no, who got the chop?
Yeah, Mr. Gabby's friend, Lee, is one of his best mates.
Lee?
Yeah, he got the chop not because he is not the favoured one, more because it involved us driving to Brighton.
Okay, fair
enough. And we had other plans in the diary before his plan.
Okay.
So we were like, something's got to give here because we just can't do it. But yeah. Regardless, I still had a really lovely time.
I had a lovely time. I went to Yorkshire.
Yeah, you did. Up north.
Yeah, up north. And we went to a really cool restaurant that was like in someone's living room.
Oh, wow.
It was in the chef's living room. And just like the most amazing food. And almost, it was like vegetarian. And almost every course was had cheese in it.
Oh, so you were happy about that?
It was in a great place.
Yeah.
So big shout out to the Walled Garden Supper Club.
Walled Garden Supper Club. How lovely. Yeah.
And oh, now man. I just spent like an hour sitting out on my terrace, aka patio, drinking gin and tonic. And now I'm a little bit drunk.
Oh, cheers to that, buddy boo.
Uh-huh.
Well, I am looking at my burnt arms.
Oh, no.
I'm a bit embarrassed. I think when you're my age and you get burnt, you just look like a big dick, don't you? Like, what kind of dick does that?
In your defense, bad. It's been eight dark months.
Yeah, it has.
And I think we've all forgotten how to use sunscreen.
I think we have. And I did actually look for some and I couldn't find any. And I just thought, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. Anyway, it's all good. I had a nice time. I've been in the sun. You know, it's been nice. Had a
great
few pints. Not today, mind you. Sober right now, unlike you.
You should come to my place, mate.
I need to get to that terrazza.
Yeah, come to this. Come to my terrazza.
The terrazza.
Yeah.
Well, shall we talk about show?
Yes, let's. So our first appearance is Liz with a guest appearance from Nick.
Oh.
I know. We have him back where he belongs.
I'm pleased.
And she's talking about performance anxiety.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's a big one.
It's a problem I don't have, but a lot of our male counterparts have.
Well, it's kind of, you know, it's quite hard, isn't it, to be like, you need to perform right now.
Yeah, exactly. So you know,
jizz all over me and smile while you're doing it.
Yeah,
right now.
Although I've got to say, listeners, getting them to jizz all over you is not how you're going to get pregnant.
No, yeah.
Yeah,
I just meant like as a celebratory after one, you know, you get it in first and then just go way everywhere
like champagne.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, to be fair, no one who's TTC is wasting that spunk.
That precious spunk.
Yeah, awesome. I look forward to that. And then we've got Louis.
Oh, so I've been going with Louis. Na 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 na.
Oh, I don't think I know that one.
Oh, mate. Anyway. Whichever song you prefer to go with.
Yeah.
This is kind of by popular demand, actually, because we get dozens of emails asking for our acupuncturist's details.
We rave about her.
We rave about her. So I think we just wanted to introduce her to y'all.
Yeah.
I think it's worth kind of looking into the evidence for how effective acupuncture is. The HFEA, which is the UK IVF regulator, gives it an amber rating on its traffic light system, which I think is cool.
I think that's do it if it makes you happy.
And I think that's the most important thing, is that it made, and I really miss it actually, but it made me feel really great.
Yeah, same. Just like, I absolutely just loved it.
But do listen to Louis, because she's great.
She's lovely. I just love her. I miss her voice. So now it's great we've got it recorded, so I can listen to it whenever I want.
Oh my God, yeah. Just put it on, go to sleep.
We should have got her to do some sort of mindful meditation for us while we had her on the phone.
Oh my God, we totally should have got her to do
just
that.
Just like breathing exercises or something.
Yeah, it would have just been her like gossiping about someone.
Yeah.
that's what makes me feel calm.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure everyone will enjoy that, regardless of whether you like acupuncture or not.
Yeah, although she did say something borderline offensive to me at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm over it. I've got over it.
Yep, tune into that one, guys. Yeah. And then what do we have next?
We have Professor Tim, of course.
Of course, but of course.
And it's week two of lining chat.
Oh, yeah. Lining 2.0.
Yeah. Last week we had thin linings. This week we've got thick linings.
Can it ever be too thick?
Yeah.
I mean, presumably it can.
Well, you'll have to listen to Professor Tim and find out.
Well, I will.
Yeah.
Well, guys.
Yeah.
That's the whole shaboozle.
Yes. Please, can you, first of all, buy our book?
Yep.
It's
that's
available.
That's the first request.
In some places to pre-order.
It's actually been reduced on Amazon. I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign.
Whatever. Anyway, it's a bargain on Amazon, so go and get it there.
Yeah, go and don't be waiting for it to go down in price. It already has.
Yeah. Not out till January though, FYI.
No. That still has not changed.
Yeah. And then you can follow us on Instagram.
@ Big Fat Negative.
You can follow us on Twitter.
@ Big Fat Negative.
You can email us.
BigFatNegativePodcast@gmail.com.
And finally, you can rate and review the podcast, which we'd love you to do, because it helps other people going through the same stuff find our podcast.
Indeed. And you could also buy our t-shirts if you fancied one.
Yeah. Details on our website.
Yes, indeed. Lovely. Have a great podcast, guys.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Hi, friends. How are you? Got a little bit of a treat for you this week, if I'm honest. And I know that some of you have probably felt this loss, but feel it no longer, because I'm not alone today.
I brought in the big guns.
Because this week's problem, it's not really something that I feel particularly qualified to answer, if I'm perfectly honest. So I've brought in my resident expert.
On what?
Because this week, we're talking sperm. We're talking sperm, and specifically performance anxiety. So we've had an email in from a lady. She says that when they started Letrozole to induce ovulation was when their sort of problems began. So my boyfriend has been struggling with performance anxiety on 3 out of 4 of our cycles so far. So much so that he hasn't been able to finish when we're in my fertile window. I'm trying so hard to play it down, not to get stressed about it, as I know he's not doing it on purpose, but we only have 2 more cycles before we get referred for IVF. I've also tried not being entirely honest about when the window is so that it's all chilled, but of course he now knows that when I'm going to the hospital for scans that the window is coming up. I don't really know what to do next. Do I talk to the doctors about IUI? Do I lie completely and say they're no longer monitoring me, That has been mentioned by the doctors as they can see the medication dosage is working, but I hate the thought of lying to him. I'm sure this isn't something that just we are experiencing, but people don't seem to talk about it. Any help you can recommend, I'd be so thankful, as I'm starting to get super frustrated with the whole scenario when all, in inverted commas, he has to do is orgasm, but then feeling awful that I'm putting that pressure on him. Thank you so much. Obviously, I'm going to keep this lady anonymous, and I'm going to refer to her as feeling the pressure. So feeling the pressure, as I said, I brought in the big... Because I have to be honest, this is not an area of expertise for me. So Nick, would you like to give your thoughts?
I think first off the bat is, yeah, you can never keep it a secret. Like I was saying to you, if you ever get randomly amorous on a random Wednesday afternoon, I started to suspect something was up.
Yeah, can't be subtle about these things.
I think the fact that it's all we have to do makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Because you know that if I don't do... That's the one thing I've got to do, and if I can't do that, it's even worse.
Mm. It's something that is, I guess, uncontrollable in some respects, but it is very much a psychological thing. Is it? You get in your head, don't you?
Yeah, it is. And I think as generic as the advice is just to do it regularly. If you're going to have any attempt to hide it at all, it's just do that regularly. You don't know when the time's coming.
So, okay, so the first sort of potential advice is try and have sex more regularly. So if you do want to sort of, not necessarily hide it from your partner, but no, not going to specific dates... Yeah. If you feel that would relieve the pressure. But obviously you have mentioned that you're not somebody who particularly wants to hide things from your boyfriend. And I completely understand that, because I think when you start hiding those things...
You did. You tried.
I tried it. I absolutely did. I tried it all and it didn't go down well. Not because you were upset about it, but because it didn't really work.
No.
It didn't achieve what I wanted it to achieve. But obviously the situation that you're in now, you've mentioned speaking with your doctors. I think that's probably a really good idea, because actually in terms of both of your mental health, if you're getting really stressed out because you're wanting him to perform and he isn't able to because he feels very anxious about it, which is completely understandable, actually, is it worth sort of saying... maybe this isn't the right road for us at the moment, and kind of taking control of that a little bit.
I think from the sounds of that email, he's halfway there.
We spoke with a counsellor, didn't we? Not specifically about this issue, but she did obviously happen to mention pressures around sex and conception. And one of the things that she suggested was to sort of be a bit more playful with it, and, you know, if... role play is your thing, then absolutely crack on. But, you know, to take a more serious note, what I mean by that is, or what she meant by that is, to not put so much pressure on it and to actually just enjoy spending time with each other without the pressure of actual intercourse. So, you know, spend a lot of time together. Spend time together, maybe... enjoying some foreplay, taking the pressure away from, you know, as I said, actually achieving intercourse. Because sometimes it will just naturally progress. And you're both, as Nick said, enjoying it a lot more and enjoying it for what it is. So in a very roundabout way, we've kind of, I guess, given a couple of options. So the first one, you know, being, you know, maybe try and have sex more regularly. You don't mention whether or not you specifically leave sex for your fertile window. You know, some of the advice that you were given, certainly when we went, you know, because we progressed directly to IVF, but some of the advice that you were given was to clean the pipes regularly, if you will.
Don't do that kind of thing.
So, you know, ejaculating regularly actually will benefit the sperm, from what we've been told in terms of the, I want to use the word turnover of sperm. I think that's probably a...
It's quality.
So it increases new sperm and encourages new sperm and gets rid of the older sperm. So actually, even though you might be absolutely shattered, or you might even be doing this already, having kind of that regular intercourse does help, even though it maybe is not realistic for a lot of us because life is knackering. So don't, you know, feel that you have to do that or the pressure is on you pair to sort of be on that time scale, because again, that can also bring its own pressures. The second thing, I think, is to definitely speak with your doctors, because actually you both need to protect yourselves in terms of your mental well-being as well here, because if you are considering progressing to IVF, then that is going to be very, very stressful and it can be all-consuming.
Yeah, I think my stress more came with the sampling stage. Because I knew it's exactly the same as IUI, really. In fact, you've got a window to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there you have the... I managed to overcome my fear.
You did.
Towards the end, when I managed to provide a sample at the clinic.
Yeah.
In the waiting room.
In the waiting room. But, you know, there are alternatives.
Yeah, you can't... You are like,
there, aren't there?
Yeah, the only reason I had to do it that day was because of COVID.
Yeah.
I couldn't... All the rest of they've allowed me to do it
at home.
Which is much better, but it's...
You're in a more comfortable, relaxed environment.
I don't think there is no real easy way around it, because although it is that sort of the only thing we have to do, it's kind of a vital thing we have to do, and you don't really have, and the relationship sort of between the mind and the sort of physical element of it are sort of connected, and if you get really stressed out and want to, it's like twice as hard, if not almost impossible sometimes, but it's like you can't force yourself to relax sometimes. I think if you do get really stressed, just stop.
Walk away,
relax a bit, and then come back to it. And go back to the foreplay, if you will.
Asking him the question, what can I do? How can I help? Or actually, should we go and seek some talking therapy? Or should you go and seek some talking therapy? Is actually a really important thing to do.
Yeah, I think our best serious conversations are when we go for a walk, aren't they?
Yeah, because, you know, I always remember, I can never remember where I heard it from, but I always remember reading that you should have your, as you say, better or more important conversations when you're either doing something side by side, so driving, walking, cooking, where the pressure is not on the conversation.
Dancing.
I mean, I don't know. Do we dance side by side? I don't know.
Should do.
Do the shuffle. So, you know, going for a long walk, you know, bringing it up in conversation or moving naturally into it sometimes means that you, because the pressure is off you, you tend to be a bit more honest about how you're feeling. But, you know, always remember that you are in control of your treatment. So if this course of treatment is not working for you and you want to take a step back from it, even if it's to, you know, spend a little while just reconnecting with each other in that way and then go back to doing, you know, your remaining sort of few cycles and then moving on to IVF, you're in charge here and you need to both look after your own mental health.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's been helpful.
Yeah.
Best of luck to you both.
Look.
Take care.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Louis. Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. You okay?
I've got stage fright. Yes, I'm fine.
It's just so great to hear your voice again.
It's nice. No, I know. I've missed you too.
We miss you so much. We were all, just before we started recording, all talking about how we've all moved out of London, although you still practice in London, right?
That's right. I'm still in London 3 days a week, and I have been throughout the lockdowns, apart from the first lockdown. So it's,
God, well done you.
It's been full on. Yeah, it's been great. But kind of, yes, I love living out of London. Yeah. I moved back to Berkshire, which is where I grew up. Didn't think I would ever come back here, but I love it, I've got to say.
No, that's nice.
Yeah, it's really, it's, you know, it's, I feel that I'm lucky because I've got the balance of being in London, seeing my friends when I want to, and having all the culture and the restaurants. And then coming back to Newbury and just chilling when, you know,
that's
when
ideal,
I need to.
Yeah,
so it's quite chilled. Are you two, you're just working remotely, I presume?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I did have that conversation with my boss today where he was like, 2 days a week. And I was like, I can do one. I'll give you one.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That might be quite exciting though.
I think so, yeah.
It'll be nice.
Mm. Yeah.
It'll be the date for you to see your mates and, you know, after work drinks.
Absolutely. And I just found a co-working space in Whitstable that's £55 a month for 2 days a week.
That's so cheap.
That's so cheap.
I know.
Wowzers.
Yeah. And also it's linked with other friend of the podcast, Sophie, because it's she works with them, the company that, well, the place that.
A social enterprise.
Yeah, it's a social enterprise.
And is Sophie based there as well?
No, she's based in London.
London.
Oh, right.
Yeah, okay. But she would like to go west. Anyway, we're off topic already and we haven't really started.
It's like a cool thing to ask, isn't it?
Louis, we love you and we miss you. You've helped us so much. And our first question is, how did you get into acupuncture? Which is not actually a story I necessarily know.
Me neither.
You know what? It is, it's a kind of funny one because I was having acupuncture. Well, initially I was doing Kung Fu and then my Irish friend said, oh, I'm having acupuncture. And I thought, she's having acupuncture and she's Irish and I'm Chinese and I've never had acupuncture. What's going on there? So, and I was doing Kung Fu and then a guy in my Kung Fu class was training and I thought, I'm going to try it.
I love
and
that
at
you're doing
the time,
Kung Fu.
Yeah, I know. I was really, I was really, really shit at it.
Have you got photos?
Fuck off.
You're gonna have to send us photos.
Yeah. I was unbelted. Let's just say I was humiliated. And anyway, I thought, okay, I'm going to try it. At the time, my husband and I were thinking, let's press the bouton and let's try and start having a baby.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, I've got polycystic ovarian syndrome. So my periods were quite irregular, but I was having periods. So I thought, okay, this will help. I also have rhinitis, allergies. So I thought, let's try that. Yeah, let's try that. And then I went to have acupuncture. And I thought, this is fascinating. As you both know, I'm Chinese. Mm-hmm. My parents are from Hong Kong, but I grew up here. I was born here. And my mom and my dad have always said, they've kind of taught us the basic elements of Chinese medicine. So it's like, if you're feeling a bit heaty or you've got a headache, don't eat this instead. You know, if you've got your period, don't go swimming because you might get more, you know, period pains if you're like getting yourself cold. So all these kind of things that I took as old wives' tales was kind of solidified and put into a structure in Chinese medicine when I decided to go back and study for a degree. So what happened was I started having acupuncture. I thought, this is amazing. I love it. And I got pregnant actually very quickly, probably by chance, but I thought, as I've got PCOS, I'm kind of like more of a higher probability of having a miscarriage. So I thought, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try and have acupuncture. So I had acupuncture to about 14 weeks of my pregnancy. And then I was great. I was fine, felt really good, but I had felt quite anxious, a little bit anxious about the pregnancy at the beginning. And it was great. I loved it. And then I was on the couch with needles in and I thought, I love this. I could do this. I really could do this. And at the time I was working in consultancy. And I've got to say, I did not love it. You know, I just thought, okay, I need an out.
You're in the city, in the rat race.
Yeah, yeah. I was working in a small boutique firm, but I just thought, okay, I need to do something else because this is a little bit full on. I was working really long hours and it was interesting, but it wasn't making me feel joyful. You know, it wasn't making me feel this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And especially as we wanted to start having a family, I thought, I can't work these hours and have a baby because I'm never going to see this baby. And then I said to my husband right away, I thought, I'm going to retrain. I'm going to be an acupuncturist. And he's great. He was like, okay, great. Go for it. Yeah. So, yeah. So I kind of like I don't make life decisions like overnight. I'm a, you know, I kind of think about things. I do my research and I really, really kind of take my time. But this was it sounds a bit wanky, but it was like a calling.
Yeah.
It chose me rather than me choosing it. And then I went back to uni, did a degree in Chinese medicine, and Bob's your uncle.
And so did you end up specialising in fertility because of your experience with PCOS, or was it something else?
I think, yes. I think because I saw firsthand that it really works and it really helps. I wasn't ovulating regularly. So with acupuncture, I started ovulating regularly. And I thought that this really sustained my pregnancy. So I could see how if you're anxious or your hormones are imbalanced, how I saw firsthand how it could affect that, how it could change that for the better.
Yeah.
And how it helped my fertility and how it helped my mood and, you know, just overall well-being. And that's what made me think, yeah, this is amazing. I should do this. And I thought I could be quite good at it. You know, I don't know why. I just thought I understand it. I really believe in it. So I should be good at it.
Yeah. One of the things that, like, your approach is very much, I'm trying to formulate this question while I'm saying it, and I'm finding it really difficult. One of the things that kept me coming back to you and that people can probably pick up on a little bit during this conversation is that you're not like, you know, on TV when people go to acupuncturists, the acupuncturist like puts in all the needles and then they go, okay, I'll leave you here. And they go into a different room and then the person is there with their thoughts. With you, I feel like I probably gossiped more with you than anybody else I knew during our sessions. Like, is that a conscious approach or is it just that?
It depends. It really depends because now I do leave the room, especially during COVID times.
Of course.
And I think some people do need to relax. They are tired and they are stressed. And it's better that they spend that time breathing and trying to be in their bodies. I think a lot of us
are living such a fast-paced life and stressed that we are kind of outside of our bodies. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So we don't spend a lot of time actually in our bodies feeling what our body's trying to tell us. I mean, this sounds a little bit like woohoo, but mm-hmm. it's important to be grounded in life, but especially for fertility. How are you going to, you know, create another life if you're not in your body, not aware of what your body's trying to tell you? Does that make sense?
Yeah. But does that mean if I come and see you again, we're not going to have chats?
Of course it doesn't. Come on. When, who can stop the chats between us three?
Huh? I was going to say, because I really like, obviously, we always have a good chat, and that was definitely part of it for me and why it was so lovely to come and see you. But then also, you did leave the room and I did go into myself because I really enjoyed that too. Like, I really got a lot out of that. I found it quite powerful.
Yeah, the breathing exercises. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that I used to make you do the 4-7-8?
Yeah, I still do them like every
Fantastic.
Night.
Fantastic. Well done.
I just wake up in the middle of the night and then I can't sleep and then I do that. Like when I've got to say, I don't usually bring up my daughter on this podcast, but when she was in hospital, when she was very small, we were in hospital for 5 nights and it's probably the most tense and anxious I've ever been in my life. And also they're like all round, you know, in a hospital it's horrible because there's just noise all around continually. And that was the only thing that would get me to sleep while we were there.
Oh, well done.
Just doing those breathing exercises.
Yeah. Mm. It really helps. And I think, I mean, you know me, I'm a bit bossy when it comes to, you know, do the breathing and, you know, kind of get, you know, be calm now, be listen to your body. I'm quite directive because I think a lot of people need it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I can be soft and gentle when needed, but I treat a lot of women who are extremely frustrated that they're not pregnant.
Yeah.
They're extremely frustrated because, like me, they want to be in control. Mm-hmm. And they think, work hard enough at something, if they eat, you know, take the supplements, they do everything that Mr. Google tells them to do about trying to get pregnant and it's not happening, they're frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, okay, you know, this is what you can do now to help your fertility, which is reduce the stress, do the breathing, you know, eat well, but listen to your body. You know, don't work your body too hard. Don't over-exercise. Do joyful things. You know me, that I'm very practical as a practitioner because I think it's got to resonate with you for you to do these lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't ask anyone to do something that I wouldn't be prepared to do, you know. So I know when I say, oh, reduce the sugar, I know it's difficult, or, you know, reduce the coffee or reduce, you know, the alcohol. It's hard. You know, there's me at night eating my crisps when I certainly shouldn't be.
It's interesting because, like, I've, you know, when I first came to you, I was like, I think the first thing I said to you was, I'm massively skeptical.
Yes, yes.
And but I need to have tried everything. And I, you know, I think part of the reason I kept coming to you is just because it made me feel really good to have this, to have acupuncture. And it was, you know, it was partly just getting to lie down for an hour. It was partly what you were doing. It was partly our chats. Like, they all kind of combined together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's interesting that I think fairly recently the HFEA has changed their traffic light. So they have a traffic light system, which is like, you know, how effective certain treatments are.
Mm-hmm.
And they've changed their traffic light for acupuncture from red to amber because there is an increasing amount of evidence that acupuncture does actually
work.
You know, scientifically work, which is no surprise to you, Louis.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
Can you tell us how it works?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, this is the science bit, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what we're aiming to do is, well, okay, in clinical trials, acupuncture has been shown to increase the release of beta endorphins in the brain.
Yeah.
And what these do is influence gonadotropin releasing hormones, such as the FSH and the luteinizing hormone, LH, okay, which will affect our ability to develop and mature follicles, eggs, and it will impact ovulation.
Mm-hmm. So but you need your LH surge to ovulate, right?
Exactly. And you need your follicle stimulating hormone to mature those follicles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it also influences the release of estrogen and progesterone in our ovaries. So it's about getting that, what we call HPO axis, the hypothalamic pituitary axis, balanced. So we have a nice ovulation, we have follicles developing nicely, we have a uterine lining building up, and once we've got conception, it's about that travel, that movement of the embryo down to implant in the uterus. And how acupuncture helps that is balancing the reproductive hormones for a start, helping stimulate blood flow in the uterus to help build up the lining, but it also helps the ovaries mature those follicles.
Mm.
Okay, so it's helping at each step of the way, and it's really important because it's always about blood flow,
mm-hmm.
in the reproductive organs. Okay, and I think as you touched upon earlier, Emma, about, you know, coming, you felt really great, you felt really calm, and you felt it helped in that way in your general well-being. It acupuncture really helps regulate cortisol, you know, the stress hormone. Yeah. So it's about qi flow and blood flow. If our qi and our blood is flowing well, we feel great. We feel grounded. We don't feel anxious. We feel calm. And all our organs are being nourished properly and optimally. Mm-hmm. So that's why we feel great. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, you both know how difficult it has been on the, you know, the fertility roller coaster. You know, having IVF or trying to conceive naturally, it's a roller coaster of emotions. You know, you have that 2-week wait, you have the anxiety before you do the pregnancy test. Even when you're pregnant, you feel anxious, right?
Mm.
So what acupuncture, I think, is so amazing in doing is it kind of regulates all of that. It regulates the anxiety. It calms you down. It makes you feel that your blood and your chi is circulating everywhere, which is exactly what we want in early pregnancy and during, you know, conception.
Yeah.
You're making me want acupuncture now. That's it. Oh my God.
Come on back.
Do you know what? Sitting here, I've got such bad shoulder pain.
Really? Yeah. I've been treating shoulder pain all day.
Oh, I bet you have because everyone's working from home.
Yes.
Yeah.
God.
That's my issue.
So if someone's listening to this and they're like, oh, you know, what, is there a time of the month or a time of a treatment cycle or something like that it's best to have acupuncture when you're trying, or is it just kind of the whole cycle that you'd aim for?
It really depends on what's happening. So if there are any gynecological conditions like polycystic ovarian syndrome or endometriosis, or you've got, kind of a really irregular cycle and you're not sure why, then you probably would benefit from coming in at any stage, okay, to regulate what's happening. If you're trying to conceive naturally and you have a really regular cycle, you know exactly when your fertile window is, I would say come in probably a week before ovulation and come in just after ovulation. That, you know, that's for like trying to conceive naturally.
Yeah.
With assisted fertility, you guys know that there's a pre-preparation time to come in, before up to 3 months before you're going to start IVF.
Mm-hmm.
Then depending on what protocols you're on, if you're a long protocol, you could come in once during down regulation and then during stimulation drugs. Usually your acupuncturist will want to see you probably twice during that period. And that's really to help what we call follicle recruitment at the beginning of when you start stims. So you get as many follicles ready, lined up to say, okay, we're all starting. Let's get, you know, because you know with IVF that it's a numbers game. So the more follicles you can have growing at the same rate and collected and matured at the same level, the more likely you're going to have a higher rate of fertilization of embryos. Mm-hmm. So it's also then towards the end of STIMS, before egg collection, that we would recommend you come in, because by that time you're probably having, one is probably having more side effects from the stimulation drug. So that could be like night sweating, headaches, bloating, pain, feeling just really knackered. So it's more about then making sure that the lining is nice and thick, that the follicles are developing nicely, but also dealing with those side effects. Then usually we highly recommend pre and post transfer, pre and post embryo transfer. This in clinical research has been shown that acupuncture just during these two, just for pre and post transfer, can increase the success rate of pregnancy.
I definitely came in the morning of my transfer, I think, beforehand. And
it,
I don't know what it did on the inside, but in my head, it made me feel like I'd done what I could.
Yeah.
I was feeling relaxed. It was definitely nice to do.
Yeah. And what we're doing in pre-transfer is preparing the cervix, but calming you as well.
Yeah.
So, it's natural to feel anxious, isn't it, before transfer? But it's also prepping the cervix, making the cervix receptive to your lovely embryo.
To the catheter.
Yeah. The only time I think that you actually left me, you were like, just lie here and shut up.
Be quiet, young lady. Focus on your receptive cervix.
I did not spend enough time focusing on that.
You did well, girls. You did well.
Thanks. When it comes to the way you practice, you know, one thing that you did a lot of was give us kind of hints and tips on what we should and shouldn't be eating.
Mm-hmm.
How important is nutrition?
I think massive. Okay. If you think your eggs and your lining is made up of what you eat, is made up of the chi, you know, in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Transformed by what you eat, it can only help, can't it? My approach, and I think most acupuncturists' approach, is extremely holistic. We look at your lifestyle, what you eat, what you're doing, you know, in terms of sports and work, etc. And we see where we can tweak it to make your chi essentially move better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, you know that I'm a big advocate of eating warm cooked food.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right. And that's because cold, raw food, it's fine in summer and it's fine in moderation. But when you're trying to conceive, you want flow of energy to be optimal. And cold, raw food will kind of put a bit more strain on your digestive system because it's raw. You'll have to, you know, bring it up to body temperature and digest all this raw food. And cold food, because cold contracts. So we don't want anything to contract. We want everything to be moving freely and flowing well.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's during pregnancy too. That's in life. If people have digestive issues, in Chinese medicine, that's a spleen deficiency. So we want it to make it as easy as possible for your digestive system to transform food and make energy.
Yeah. I remember you telling me not to eat ice cream.
Yeah, I know. That was mean, wasn't it?
No, it's fair enough. It's probably doing everyone a favour.
You can eat as much ice cream as you want when the babies are here, you know.
You've touched on some there. What are your other tips, like what should people avoid, what should people have more of?
Like protein, I think eating I do recommend when people are trying to conceive to eat protein with most meals. And it doesn't have to be animal protein, legumes, pulses, great, you know. But I am Chinese. I am. I think that we as humans, we do absorb heme iron, that is, you know, iron from another animal, much easier. So I think as if you are vegan or vegetarian, it's fine as long as you are really super on it with your nutrition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lentils.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, cooked leafy greens. So I think I always recommend eating a rainbow coloured diet, like a Mediterranean diet. Mm-hmm. So you get your beta carotenes, you're full of antioxidants, basically, because that will only help, you know, deal with the stress, deal with any kind of toxins in the body. It will be helping.
And should everyone be downing litres and litres of pomegranate juice?
Not litres.
Quite sugary, I think. I think I, like, what's it, pom? Pom juice. I think I kept those guys in business for a good 3 months there.
Yeah, I think, you know, a shot of it daily is fine, like about 50 mils.
Okay.
Not litres. I mean, you know, everything in moderation, girls.
Yeah.
Yada, yada. But yeah, I think, you know, what I want is to make sure that blood flow is great and antioxidants, you know, those things will help blood flow. So beetroot, you know, it's either beetroot juice or pomegranate juice. You know, we do believe in lycopenes, so like cooked tomatoes, that's a really good antioxidant for you.
Was that what you told my Mr. Gabby to have? What was it? Tomato puree.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, is there any other stuff that's really good for sperm?
Oily fish, seeds, lots of things. You know, things that look like sperm. Caviar.
Oh.
Yeah, pomegranate, caviar, yeah. Walnuts. I think seeds and nuts are great.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, things that look like sperm.
Tadpoles.
No.
Frying up on toast. So, just out of interest, just to just because I read this story, I was reading what we've written in our book, and I read this story, which is Gabby's story, and it made me laugh so much. If you were drinking a smoothie, is it good to hold it in your mouth for a while until it goes warm?
Well, yeah.
See?
Why are you drinking cold smoothies, girls?
Louis, I'm going to have to explain the full situation. So M&S does a smoothie. It's called Revitalize or something, and it's got folic acid and beetroot and all these things that I've been told were good to have, but obviously it's fucking cold.
Oh yeah, then you did the right thing, or you just leave it until it's room temperature, girls.
I think you're enabling her.
Good girl, you get extra points. Yeah, well,
sweating it in my mouth going, is it ready yet?
As long as you're not just spitting it out passers-by.
Right. Okay, so a last question. Do you want to ask it, Gabs, or shall I?
Now you're building it up.
Before we started, you were like, are you going to ask us any difficult questions? And I was going to say, well, there is one. The last question is quite difficult. Emma, do you want to go for it? Who was better at getting acupuncture, me or Gabby?
Better in what way?
Just like better at it. A better student, you know, a better Padawan. Yeah.
Gabby.
Oh,
yes. I knew that would piss Emma off. No, I mean, I tell you what, Emma had like a massive transformation, right?
I did.
Because you came onto my couch and you were like, I'm really skeptic. Chatting 19 to the dozen, fine, put the needles in. It's like I gave her a sedative. She floated out of the room, she bumped into Zita on the way out. I said, I'm a convert. Hey, yeah, she was like,
hey, Zita.
And she was like full on Zen goddess. Okay. So that's like a really good transformation. were Gabby, you know, Gabby, you're pretty grounded, you're pretty chilled, right?
Yeah.
So I think, but I think that you may have won because did you do more of the, you listened to all the self-care advice?
Yeah.
Didn't you?
I did. Well,
did you, Emma?
I did the breathing.
Yeah, you did.
All the time.
I think, okay, let's be diplomatic, girls. You had the biggest reaction, the biggest kind of change, Emma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Gabby was kind of like just chilled the whole way through. Or you're already like a bit of a swan. You're a bit of a swan. So you always give the impression that you are really chilled. And then inside, the little mind is going like the clappers.
Yeah, I mean, that is true.
I think that's a really accurate description.
Yeah, yeah. So Emma shows her like clappers.
Yeah.
But so I think I can't really... Was that diplomatic enough, girls?
It was very diplomatic.
Do you hate me?
Yeah. No. No one hates you.
Great.
I do remember Emma describing that, walking out that first time.
Yeah.
And it is quite funny.
She felt like a Zen goddess.
I felt like I was absolutely fucked.
Yeah. And if she... I don't know if it's my imagination now... But if you should have been wearing a long floaty skirt or dress and kind of wafting down the stairs, you know, like with your skirt swaying in the wind.
Yeah.
Were you? And then skipping down Manchester Street.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I just remember walking through down Oxford Street because I had to go to Marble Arch Station. And that is the worst part of Oxford Street because it's always heaving with tourists along.
Yeah. It's the most stressful place to be in London.
And I get rage. And so, but I just kind of wafted down that bit of Oxford Street. Yeah. Then I got home and we'd just exchanged on my house. And the conveyancers had given me a bill of an extra £10,000 that I didn't owe them. And I, instead of going absolutely mental at them, I just phoned them and had a really chilled conversation and was like, no, don't worry about it, man. It's fine.
Oh, my God. It's fine. Right, I'm going to write that on a bottle, you know. That is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys know me. I can appear very zen in clinic, but I can get really, like, road ragey. You know, I can get really like, oh, people really annoy me, especially like walking down streets when people are like all over the place. But after I have acupuncture, I feel like there's no problem that I cannot solve. I'm as grounded as fuck. And I'm just like, yes, yes, bring it on. I can deal with anything. So, you know, that's what acupuncture does to me. That's amazing, right?
Who does your acupuncture? Do you just stick yourself sometimes? You're just like,
well, I do have to needle myself now because I just don't have time to go and see my acupuncturist. But he's amazing. He's truly amazing. So I should go back. But it's just work and everything now. But yeah, definitely.
Well, I think we both have said many times, probably too many times really, that we think you're amazing. So
thank you, loves. Yeah. Thank you. It's not me, it's the acupuncture.
Oh yeah. But it's a bit you as well.
It's you, mate.
Yeah.
thank you.
Anyway, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on.
So nice to catch up with you.
It was so nice to I know. God. So nice.
Difficult questions.
That was difficult. It was hard.
Do real game show IVF.
What the F? Ding, ling, 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 ling. We are talking about thick, juicy linings.
Oh, it's a thick, juicy lining. It's what a lot of people would just die for.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Like, grass is always greener, I guess. Situation.
Mm-hmm, I suppose it is.
Last week we were talking about thin linings. That's something I've got a lot of experience of. Thick linings, not so much. Although, as I said last week, once I had a grainy lining, I really don't know what that meant.
What did that mean? Who knows?
Well, it meant bad, but further than that, I don't know what it meant.
Of poor quality.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, Professor Tim explains, can your lining ever be too thick? He says yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess listen on and find out.
Take it away, Tim.
So... ideally for the endometrial lining, you're looking for a thickness of somewhere between 7 millimetres and probably up to 12, 13, 14 millimetres, something like that. It's actually quite unusual to see a very thick endometrial lining. As usual with studies, data tend to suggest that success rates are best when things that are measured are more in the average sort of range. And as soon as you start going very low or very high above average, then in general in medicine, I'd say that you do start to see that success rates or outcomes may drop away a bit. But it's usually more of a problem with a lining that's too thin. In terms of a lining that's too thick, if a thick lining is seen, the first question is, well, why is it thick? One possibility is that perhaps it's an endometrial polyp or a fibroid polyp, which hasn't been seen before and is being seen now during the monitoring. So if there's a polyp there, and a polyp is really an overgrowth of tissue, if there's a polyp there, then you would normally see that the lining is not the same thickness throughout. So it would be, you know, normal thickness, then in a certain area of the uterus, you'd suddenly see it get thicker. So there's certainly the people doing the scans in the fertility clinic would be aware of that and would be looking to see, does this thick lining look like it's due to a polyp or not? The next thing would be, well, if the lining is seen to be thick during the treatment cycle, has it been seen to be thin beforehand? So certainly if the lining was, for instance, 4 or 5 millimetres beforehand, or if you were having a long agonist protocol and you had a downregulation scan and it was less than 5 millimetres as it normally would be, that shows us that this thick lining now is in response to all of the estrogen hormones flying around. And again, I wouldn't be concerned about that. If the lining is always thick, regardless of when you're being scanned, then there does need to be consideration whether the endometrium is healthy or not. Now, very unusually, you can get overgrowth of the endometrium and something called hyperplasia, and that's more common as women get older. So if the patient is in her 40s, has a very thick lining, so over sort of 14, 15 millimetres or more, and importantly, the lining stays thick even after a period, then there does need to be consideration whether that is hyperplasia, and that is quite easily examined by doing a biopsy. And the biopsy is a bit like having an embryo transfer. So a catheter is passed through the cervix and a small aspiration is made of a bit of tissue, which is then sent off to the laboratory. So in general, yes, lining can be too thick, but that's quite an unusual scenario. And really, you just wanted to make sure that it's not a polyp. Again, a polyp can be tested by looking closely with scan or potentially doing a saline scan. So a bit of water is injected in through the cervix and a scan done to look to see if it's a polyp or not, or potentially a hysteroscopy.
Okay, guys, it's over.
That was it.
Yeah.
All over. Next week we have Emma Haslam from Your IVF Abroad, and she's talking about IVF Abroad.
And don't be confused about Emma Haslam. I was. It's not the host of the show. She has a name twin?
Yeah, I do have a name twin. Although, to be fair, for like the first probably 2 series of this show, I was Emma Forsyth.
Oh, yeah.
Because of work issues.
Yes.
My work didn't want me being Emma Hasler anywhere, so I just borrowed John's name for a bit.
Oh, very good of you. You've given it back now.
Yeah, I've given it back. He can keep that. I'll keep mine. He can keep that. So we're talking about IVF Abroad. That's really interesting and really worth listening to.
Yes. Packed, jam-packed full of info.
Yeah. Have a really great week.
Yeah, guys, I hope you have a great week. Loads of love.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.